Good morning, Kavanaugh. Will you stand with us and let's sing? We're excited to be here and to see what the Lord has in store for us. Let's sing. I am made new.
So much, worship team. Hey, good morning, Kavanaugh Church.
Morning.
You know what? I wanted to have guaranteed smiles under all those masks, so I brought up a cute kid. How about that? He gets his good looks from me. All right? Hey, it's so good to have you guys here. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. All right? 3-day weekend for all of us. Well, I guess it's been a really lot longer weekend for most of us, right? Being with quarantine and everything, but to be here on this weekend together, celebrating and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who has made us new, who's made us new, and who we can give all of our worship and praise to with you guys, it's awesome. So thank you for joining us here this morning. We are so glad that you are here, and we know that God has something awesome for us this morning. So be praying for Brother Will as he brings the message, and I want to invite you all back to stand up again with us, and we are going to continue worshiping this morning. Thank you for being here with us. Welcome to Kavanaugh.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love.
Hope. There is hope for the believers. Let me read to you John 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There is no doubt that we are living in difficult times. And it's hard for us not to get so focused on what's right in front of us, the right here and the right now. But Jesus reminds us in this scripture to not faint and don't lose hope and take heart, because this is not the final place for us. This is just going to be a little while. And he tells us in the word that it's going to be hard while we're here. But don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. This isn't it. This is not where we belong. this is not our home. But someday, someday.
Together with you as a family. And I pray, God, now a special blessing over Brother Will as he brings us the word. And for those that are not here but are watching us online, I pray a special blessing for those. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done and for all that you're protecting us from. It's in your name I pray.
Praise team a big hand, would you? Appreciate them so much and all that they do. Thank you for being here online. Those of you online, welcome. Glad that you're tuning in and listening to us, and I pray God would speak to you in a mighty way today. For those of you who are in person, in body with your mask, welcome. Good to see you as well. It's good to have Brother Mason and Sister Corinda visiting with us today and their little baby girl. Now, we don't really know what she looks like yet, but in about 6 weeks, we're going to find out. Love you, Mason and Corinda, praying for you guys and your ministry as well. Well, this is Memorial Weekend, and I would like to give to you a Memorial Day tribute and also make a declaration. For more than two centuries, Americans have been called on to defend the founding ideals of our democracy. On Memorial Day 2020, a grateful nation remembers the proud patriots who made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of liberty's blessings. As we observe Memorial Day this year, we remember the more than 1 million Americans who have died to preserve our freedom, the more than 140,000 citizens who were prisoners of war, and all those who were declared missing in action. In respect for their devotion to America, the Congress passed a resolution on December 2000 for all Americans to observe a national moment of remembrance. The resolution asked that at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day, for all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever they are doing for a moment of silence. Now, therefore, I, Will Harmon, pastor of Kavanaugh Free Will Baptist Church, ask all the good people of Kavanaugh Church to observe the national moment of remembrance at 3 p.m. tomorrow on Memorial Day. And may God bless America. Amen. I am so thankful for the freedom that we have today to come into this place and worship with you. But I know that that freedom had a price tag. And I'm so grateful for the men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have in America today. So I'm going to ask that we start this a day early. And I'm going to ask Dan Hsu, who is our prosecuting attorney, to come and lead us in a Memorial Day prayer on the day before Memorial Day. So would you, in respect of those who have passed away giving us freedom, stand. Brother Danny, would you come and lead us in this word of prayer?
I have to speak for just a moment about a time. It was June the 6th, 1994. I called my last shoe aunt, Aunt Norma, and I said, "Aunt Norma, what were you doing 50 years ago today?" And she said, "Danny boy, I was praying for your father, because my father went in at D-Day plus 17, fought across France, Belgium, North, Holland, Germany, was in the Battle of the Hürtgen Forest, was in the North Shoulder, the Battle of the Bulge. And when he died on April the 23rd, 1988, and he didn't know he was going to die, he had a heart attack, but I was talking with him, and he said, "Dan, I am concerned, but I'm not worried." What a great legacy I had, preacher. So let us pray in remembrance. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings we see and we don't see. Thank you, Father God, for soldiers, sailors, and Marines. People, living people that were born, that they breathed, they died, but they fought for our freedom, Father God. And we ask you today, please give us freedom. Freedom that just nobody can understand but those that believe in you, Father God. Thank you for the freedom to be here today. Yes. But help us, Father God, to remember the legacy of these men and women that that did give us this freedom and help maintain our freedom. We love you and we trust you with our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Danny. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit. I started a series last week on the Spirit Way as we're learning how the Holy Spirit works in our life. The reason I've chosen this series is because today more than ever we need the work and the ministry and the power of God's Spirit on our lives. So today we're going to look at the Spirit Way and we're going to meet the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all are sports fans? You enjoy sports? Well, you're kind of hurting right now, aren't you? Because there are no sports taking place, and we're just craving for the new news on when things are going to kick back in, and we're going to be able to enjoy our favorite sports. But you know what? Even with no sports going on, the sports writers are digging up trash so that there's controversy, so that we have something to talk about. You know. Because that's all part of sports. There has been a debate going on in athletics for, a long time, at least the early 90s, going back to then, concerning the use of human growth-enhancing steroids. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong. I can remember when it all hit in Major League Baseball back in the early 90s. Between the 92 and 93 season, there arose all of this debate and all these accusations. And even it went into court hearings because we had Major League Baseball players during that time period who started every pitch they would jack it over the fence. They went from a 6 7/8 size cap to a 7 3/4 size cap in 1 year because they were on the juice, all right, and they were bulking up and it gave them more power. Well, this controversy continues on even today, but I can remember in the midst of all that was happening in Major League Baseball reading about Julio Franco, and maybe the reason it stood out more to me is because I can remember when Julio Franco played for the Texas Rangers, my favorite team. And this is part of his story. On April the 21st, 2006, a 47-year-old Julio Franco became the oldest Major League Baseball player to hit a home run. And then only a week later, on April 27th, he became the oldest player in 97 years to steal a base. And I don't know if you can remember Julio Franco, but let me tell you, he was a specimen. Even at 47 years old, you could have taken a picture of his physical body and put it on that chart of this is what a body is supposed to look like, all right? And by the way, just a side note, Julio Franco was a born-again Christian who was very verbal in his faith about Jesus Christ. Well, with a cloud of skepticism surrounding the sport, Julio Franco's longevity was met with a great deal of suspicion. A lot of people thought he was on the juice, that he was taking steroids. In fact, they accused him of that. And in an interview, he spoke concerning that accusation. And I think it really gives us a taste of the true source of life that Julio Franco said. Here's what he said. You tell Andy Van Slyke, and Andy Van Slyke was the player who accused Julio Franco of taking steroids. He said, you tell Andy that he's right. I'm on the best juice there is. He said, I'm juiced up every day. And the name of my juice is Jesus Christ. I'm on his power, his wisdom, his understanding. Andy Van Slyke is right, but the thing he didn't mention was the kind of steroids I'm on. So the next time you see Andy, you tell him the steroid I'm on is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on, people. You can amen that. What a testimony to his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I can tell you this. The world of sports continues to debate the use of natural versus artificial ways of building the human body. Now, I want to talk to you today about God's supernatural way of building you and building his church into the body he wants it to be, and that is the Spirit way. Come on, the Spirit way. Come on, say amen. Amen. It's the Spirit way that He wants to build you and His kingdom. The Holy Spirit is God's growth-enhancing agent in the life of the believer and the church. And we're going to see today what God's Word has to say about the Holy Spirit producing the life of Christ inside of us, and how the Holy Spirit makes the church look like it's supposed to look like, which is the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to do that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've got it on the screen out of the New King James Translation. Here's what Paul says to the Corinthian believers. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or misinformed. Let me read that same verse out of the New Living Translation. It says, now dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities that the Spirit gives, I don't want you to be misinformed. Now, apparently there were questions that they were asking the Apostle Paul. We know in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul deals with a lot of problems that they had in the church, but apparently they had questions as well. We don't have a record of the questions, do we? But we do have the answer that Paul gave. And apparently this question had to do something with spiritual gifts, and probably more importantly, the giver of those gifts, which is the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now, we really don't know exactly what he's referring to there. Perhaps he is referring to the fact that these people were in pagan worship before they became believers. And maybe they were bringing some of their bad habits of pagan worship into the house of God. But he goes on to say in verse number 3, which is our key verse, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed. And the literal phrase that he's saying there is that some of them were quoting and saying, Jesus is cursed. And Paul is affirming that does not come from God. That is not something that the Holy Spirit of God would prompt anyone to say, that Jesus is cursed or Jesus be cursed. And we don't know exactly what this is in reference to. It's kind of mind-boggling to us that anyone in a Christian church would stand up and say, Jesus be cursed or Jesus is cursed. Some believe that what they were doing is saying, Jesus is cursed in his physical body. It is his spiritual body that reigns. But even in that regard, we would never say Jesus is cursed, because that does not come from the Holy Spirit of God. Are you with me? He goes on to say opposite of that, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. Now that little phrase, Jesus is Lord, was the creed of the New Testament church. That was their statement of faith. That was their mantra. That was their battle cry. Jesus is Lord. Come on. I'm tossing up that baseball for you to hit a home run right there. Jesus is Lord. Let's say that. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is Lord. And Paul says the only way you can say that and mean that is through the Holy Spirit of God. What it actually means is Jesus is Lord. That is, He is Lord of heavens. He is Lord of the earth. And He is Lord of my life. And a person can only affirm that and say it through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would now speak these words of truth into our heart. I pray that we would know you and experience you in New Testament power today. Jesus, you are Lord. And I pray that you would be the Lord of our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So, church, if we are to live in the Spirit way and enjoy the life that we've always wanted and experience the power that we've always needed, there are two essentials that come into play. Number one, we must be knowledgeable about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. because it is the Holy Spirit who transforms us and gives us His power. Therefore, we need to understand the Spirit. We need to be knowledgeable about the things of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to be unlike these Corinthians who were uninformed or ignorant. We've got to know. Secondly, we've got to be available to the Holy Spirit. Not only know with our head the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, but be available with our lives to be used by the Holy Spirit of God. Today I want to talk about both of those things, but spend most of my time concerning the first essential. That is, we must be knowledgeable about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12:1? He said, "Now about spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." That phrase, spiritual gifts, literally means matters of the Spirit, or things of the Spirit. It mostly refers to the ministry and the work of the third person of the Trinity, who is the Holy Spirit. And specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking about the gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts upon believers to be used in the local church. And Paul says, "I do not want you to be ignorant about these things." The fact is, many of us are ignorant, are misinformed or uninformed about the things of the Spirit of God. And I think this is very unfortunate. If you're about my age and you grew up in a Baptist church, you're probably in this category. Because the church I grew up in, I'm not going to say we ignored the work of the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you, it was not talked about very much. It's almost like we were afraid to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We didn't want any of that on us. Ghana, are you with me? Because let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is nothing to be afraid of. It is something to covet, to wish, to desire, to have in your life. And so we do need to be informed about the Spirit of God. That's why last year I preached a whole series on the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe it's why the Holy Spirit is prompting me today in May of 2020 to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are living in some crazy times with insane things happening all around us. We need the power of the Spirit of God in our life, in our family, and in the church. So let's learn about the Holy Spirit of God. Let's be knowledgeable about the things of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about we don't need to resist. We shouldn't quench. We don't need to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can do all of those things, resist, quench. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. But as believers, we should fight against that. What should we do? We learned last week we need to live by the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. So today let's learn five more things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the pathway into new life for the believer. The Holy Spirit is the agent that God uses to lead us to Jesus Christ. That's why we have this verse, 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that we meet Jesus Christ. Let me back up and say it like this. Before a person can be saved, they need to be convinced that they're lost. Before you were saved, before you invited Jesus into your heart, you came to a realization, I'm lost. I'm without Christ. I'm without hope. I'm without heaven. I need something supernatural in my life to change me. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the pathway that leads us to Jesus Christ, so that when someone says, I have a relationship with God, or I have a relationship with Christ, what they mean is they have that relationship because the Holy Spirit has convinced them that they need a relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit has provided that relationship for us. But you know what? For a lot of people, that's where their understanding of the Holy Spirit ends. For many of you who are believers, you say, okay, it was the Holy Spirit who convicted me of my sin, and now I'm saved. And that's all I need to know about the Holy Spirit. Wrong. wrong. That's like you going out and spending $500,000 on one of these high-tech supercars. Have you seen these supercars on Motor Trend Channel? I love Motor Trend Channel, watching about all shows about, you know, rebuilding old cars. But they show shows about building new high-tech cars, too. Cars that can go from zero to over 200 miles an hour, just like that. And it's like you spending $500,000 on one of these supercars that will go 200 miles an hour, but the only thing you do with your supercar is sit in it in the driveway of your house listening to the AM radio. Never experiencing the acceleration of that speed and the handling that it can provide. And I'm here to tell you there are a lot of people who never know the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit of God in their life because they're just ignorant to it or they don't want to know about it. There's so much more for you. Amen. Let's talk about it. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the believer. He is the presence of God in our life. Anybody out there big fans of Jurassic Park? Anybody? Okay, there's a few. More second service than first service. I've never been a huge Jurassic Park fan. I've seen some of the movies, especially I can remember the first one. And there's a scene in that first movie, I think it came out in the early 90s, all right, in Jurassic Park, when the world-class paleontologist Alan Grant, who has spent his entire life studying dinosaurs, suddenly comes face-to-face in Jurassic Park with a real, live dinosaur. Y'all remember that scene? Let me tell you, to say he was freaked out is an understatement. He falls to the ground dumbfounded. And I think the reason is obvious. For his entire career, he has studied dinosaurs by picking through fossils and looking at bones. But now he encounters the real thing. And it is somewhat overwhelming to him. It became real to him on a completely different level. Did you know for many people, maybe even yourself, religion is just picking through the artifacts of faith that survived from a faraway place from a time long, long ago when somebody else encountered God, when somebody else had a relationship with God, when somebody else felt the power of God in their life. And for a lot of people, Christianity and religion is just that, something that happened a long time ago to somebody else, but it is something that could never happen to them today. And if that's what you think, let me tell you, friend, you're wrong. It can happen to you today. That same power that Moses encountered, you can encounter. The same power that Paul had, you can have. And we get it through the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you how it happens. God the Father is on the throne of the universe in heaven. Are you with me? God's sitting on his throne. And the Bible tells us there's somebody at his right hand. It's his son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus hasn't always been there. There was a time when he left heaven and came down to earth and took your sin and my sin upon his body and hung on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for the remission of your sins. He died for you in a real way. But right now, he's at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what he's doing? He's making intercession for you. So God the Father's on the throne. Jesus is on a throne right beside God the Father. But it is the Holy Spirit, who is the third member of the Holy Trinity, who is down here on earth, living in your life and in my life. Literally, he is bringing the presence of Almighty God into you. Amen. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Now, just something I dreamed up? No, I don't think so. It's in the Bible. In fact, Jesus tells us, John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. You know him, for he lives in you, and he will be," what? "With you." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit is" where? "It's in you." So the presence of God can never be known, never be experienced apart from the ministry of the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Number three, the Holy Spirit is the producer of a Christ-like character in the believer. Now, the natural person or the person who does not know Jesus Christ cannot understand spiritual truth, because spiritual truth is spiritually discerned, and it is discerned through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. John chapter 14 tells us this. Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? He will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I have said to you." And then just two chapters later in John chapter 16, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." Now, let me tell you the ministry of the Holy Spirit's work in a nutshell. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. The Holy Spirit wants to make you holy. That's what he's trying to produce in your life. A Christ-like character. He wants to make us just like Jesus Christ, to cleanse our lives of all sin. And so when we sin, we are resisting the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We learned last week we are quenching the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Resisting and quenching and grieving him. So it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us when we have sinned. And it is the Holy Spirit who corrects us when we stray. Why does he do that? Because he wants to make us just like Jesus Christ. That's his job. He is the producer of a Christ-like character in your life. And Brother Johnny, just as I said in the first service, he's still working on me. Y'all know that kid song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And you know what? I'm so glad that he's still working in my life and in your life, producing a Christ-like character inside of me. And you know what? If that is the goal of the Holy Spirit, to make you holy, I think it ought to be your goal as well. To be holy. To be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Number four, the Holy Spirit is the power of God for every demand in the believer's life. I love Zechariah 4:6. It says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." And then you know 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the Lord." There is the power of God, the power that raised Jesus from the grave, that is available to us. But it's only available through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know, there's probably only one or two of you out there who know the name Stephen Olford. Stephen Olford was a great preacher, a great orator. He grew up in England. As a young man, he came over to the United States, pastored a church in New York City, and he lived his latter years in Memphis, Tennessee. He established the Stephen Olford Institute of Biblical Preaching. And he died a few years ago, but I like to tell people, I learned how to preach from Stephen Olford, okay? Now, I had some great pastors growing up that mentored me and taught me things about the Word of God and how to preach. I had wonderful instructors at Randall University and then on at Southwestern Theological Seminary that were great preachers themselves and taught biblical hermeneutics well. But I learned how to preach from Stephen Olford. You say, well, how? Well, I listened to him. I had those old cassette tapes of his sermons. I read every book he wrote. I read the sermons that he wrote. He taught me how to write exegetical messages and how to preach them that made sense. And even though they might not make sense to you, they make sense to me, all right? So Stephen Olford taught me how to preach. I'm forever indebted to him. But let me tell you a story about Stephen Olford that I read in one of his books. It happened a long time ago in 1940. He was preaching a crusade in England. And on some night, he preached from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, about being filled with the Spirit of God. And he says in that book that as he preached, the Spirit of God filled that room. And a mighty movement of God was felt among the people who were there. And after the sermon, he went to a little private room and he kind of unwound. Mason, you know what I'm talking about. After you preach, you've kind of get by yourself and reflect and pray. And that's what he was doing. And he said, my head was bowed and I was praying to God. And he said, all of a sudden, I sensed that someone was standing beside me. And so I looked up and there was this tall, young, good-looking man who introduced himself by saying, I'm Billy Graham. Now, some of you may not even know the name Billy Graham. If you don't, Google it. Those online, don't Google it right now. Later today, Google it. And you will discover that Billy Graham, who died just a few years ago, was one of the greatest evangelists in our day and generation. Held crusades worldwide. Thousands of people were saved through his ministry and his preaching. But this was before he ever became that famous evangelist. He was just a young man. And he stood there with Dr. Alford and said, what you preached on tonight is very intriguing to me, and I want to know more about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so Stephen Alford pulled up a chair, and Graham sat down, and they started reading Bible verses and talking about the Holy Spirit. They did that till deep into that night, and for the next 2 days, while the crusade continued, they studied together the Word of God and the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Alford said, before they left that crusade, they got on their knees and they prayed for a divine filling of God in their life and in their ministries. And he said, when they finished praying, this young Billy Graham stood up and said, this is a turning point in my life. What we have talked about and what we have done will revolutionize my ministry. And I'm here to tell you it did, because soon after that, he started with the famous Los Angeles Crusade, and the power of God was on his life. Acts 1:8, but you, each one of you, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Guys, I don't know about you, but if there is one thing I desire more than anything else, it is to have that power in my life. The power of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you, did God work by his Spirit in these early days of the New Testament through simple, ordinary people, giving them the ability to do the extraordinary? You better believe he did. Because you know what? Paul was just like you and me. He put his sandals on 1 foot at a time. John, just like you and me, they face the same temptations that you and I face. Just simple, ordinary men, fishermen, most of them, who did extraordinary things through the power of God. We reflect on that. We understand that. Then did God say to us today, well, I want you guys to do the best you can with what you got? Certainly not. That same power that he made available to these first disciples, he makes available to you and I today. But it is only through the work of the Holy Spirit of God that we will have that kind of power. And that brings me to number 5. The Holy Spirit is the prompter of God in the heart of the believer. And I believe there are several ways that the Holy Spirit of God prompts us or moves us into ministry. Let me share 3 as I close. Number 1, he moves us in the sense of motivating us. Ezekiel 36, 27. And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. It is the Spirit of God who motivates us and who moves us into ministry. And can I say with all the love in my heart, some of us need to be motivated. If coronavirus has done one thing for me, it has done this. It has kind of gotten me out of the ruts that I've been in. And I understand not all ruts are bad, but you know what? Sometimes we get in a rut and all we do is spin our tires. And we can do that in our life with Jesus and on our walk with God. And through this time, I've realized, you know what, Will, you are in some ruts. And it's been the Spirit of God who has motivated me and moved me out of those ruts into new areas of ministry and motivation for service. Number two, He is the one who moves us in the sense of stirring us within. He stirs our hearts. And you know what I'm talking about are emotions. I understand emotions. You can't live by emotions, can you? If you just live by emotions, you're going to be up and down and crazy and everywhere, and nobody's going to want to be around you. You've got to balance your emotions with head knowledge. Even in your relationship with God, there's head knowledge and heartfelt knowledge as well. Both are required. But the Holy Spirit motivates us with our emotions. And there's nothing wrong with this. And I pray it on me and on you more and more every day. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit who will lead us to tears. And Mason, let me tell you, I'm just talking to Mason now. It's good to see you, man. Proud of you, buddy. I never want to come to a point in ministry where my heart gets so hard the tears don't come out of my eyes. I want God's Holy Spirit to keep my heart tender to the needs of other people, tender to the things of God. And I pray for that, but I don't worry about it too much because as I get older, I cry at the drop of a hat now. You know, you know what? That's okay. God, keep me tender. Not only does He motivate us and move us to have emotions of crying and sobbing and weeping, but there may be emotions of elation and praise. I don't think it hurts some of y'all to raise your hands and give praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord! He's worthy to be praised. I don't think it would do anything, any of us, any harm if we made that great declaration with the early church, Jesus is Lord. Okay? But it could be that the Holy Spirit moves us to fall on our face in humiliation and in repentance of sins. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. So let Him move you. And then number three, He moves us in the sense of guiding us or prompting us into action. Remember at the beginning of the message, I said two essentials are important. That we be knowledgeable to the work of the Holy Spirit. And number two, that we be available. And that's what I'm talking about right now, that the Spirit of God guides us or prompts us into action. Like right now, at this very moment, if you have been paying attention at all to the content of this message and allowing the Word of God to speak to your heart, it is the Holy Spirit of God prompting you into action. If you're listening to me online or live in this auditorium and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's the Holy Spirit who's saying to you, you need to do that right now. He's convincing you of your lostness so that you can be found. And if you're listening to me, it is the Holy Spirit of God prompting you right now that you know what? You need to make the most of what you got left. And you need to be actively involved, experiencing the presence of God in your life through the work of the Holy Spirit, having the power of God to go out and do ministry, and being available to God to do that. And it's the Holy Spirit who's... He's flicking you right now. It's not your spouse nudging you. That's the Holy Spirit nudging you. That you need to take this step of faith. That you need to do this. Disclaimer, I'm not on steroids. In fact, nobody has ever accused me of being on steroids. All right? But you know what? I know people who are on steroids. I know people who take the juice, and I know how it works. We look at bodybuilders, and we think, man, that steroids that did that to them, and we think they just juice up with that steroid, and they go to bed, and they wake up the next morning, and they look like Mr. Olympia. Doesn't quite work that way. They may juice it up, but you know what? They still work hard. Really what that juice is doing is allowing them to work harder, to lift longer, to lift more weight so that they can bulk up. That's the way it works in the believer's life as well. The Holy Spirit is that growth agent, but you've still got to do the work. And it may be that you're sitting in here today and this makes sense to your head. You're saying, okay, I academically understand this, but experiencing it is something else. I don't know what you're talking about because I don't feel the presence of God in my life. I don't sense the power of God in my life. I'm not seeing this kind of fruit in my life. I've really wrestled all week with how to say this because I want you to get my heart here in what I'm saying. If that's the way we feel, if that's the way you feel, that's not on God. It's not on Him. If you feel that way, it's not because of God. If we feel that way, the problem is us. Maybe we're not doing what we need to be doing. Maybe we're not putting in the work. Maybe we're not seeking holiness like we should seek holiness. Maybe we're not studying the scriptures and applying them to our life like we should be. Maybe there is sin that is in our life that is grieving and quenching and resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Dude, if you want it, you can have it. But you've got to do your part. And your part begins with submission. Your part is declaring Jesus is Lord and actually letting Him be Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would experience that today. For those listening online and those here in person, Lord, if they're being convicted by the Holy Spirit today for salvation, I pray that they would say that simple prayer and invite Jesus into their heart and they be saved. Lord, for the rest of us as believers, I pray that we would do our part by studying and searching and desiring and seeking the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our life and allowing Him to take control of our life and give us direction. I love you, Lord. I love these people. I pray a blessing on each person and each family. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you're live in person and you need counseling, any of the staff members are available after service. If you're listening online, you can contact us by phone. Come by and see us this week. We want to help you more than you can believe, all right? At this point, normally we'd be taking up our offering and passing the plate. We're not passing the plate during COVID-19. There are boxes at each exit. We ask that you put your tithe and offering into that box. And along with it, if you watch the Wednesday night online service, you know that we have a special drive going on right now to help our good brother in Christ, Ron Rogers. Ron's been a member of Kavanaugh Church for a long time. Him and his wife Sandy sing in our second service praise team. Just great people of faith. You'll remember on February the 29th, the Saturday, Ron was involved in a motorcycle accident that broke his neck. He had to be air-flighted to Fayetteville. They did surgery. And since then, he's been taken to Denver, Colorado for rehab therapy. Doctors tell us that there is still swelling on Ron's spine, and until that swelling goes away, he's going to be restricted in his movements. So they are being trained right now, both him and Sandy, on how to continue rehab when they get back home. And this swelling could take up to 6 months to a year to go away. But you know what? We're praying as his church family that the swelling does go away and that Ron fully recovers and has full mobility and full movement in his body. So continue to pray with me about that. His time in Denver runs out June the 3rd. He has to come back home. And many people have been asking, how can we help Ron and Sandy? Well, this is the way we've chosen to help them. It is to get Ron home, all right? There is an enormous expense in his condition of getting him from Denver, Colorado, back to Fort Smith. And so we're going to take up a special offering over the next couple of weeks in order to help them with that expense. Once they get back home, There's going to be additional expenses in their new lifestyle. So please give. I'm asking you from my heart, please give to get Ron home. If you give a check or an envelope of money, make sure you put on the notation for Ron or get Ron home, and we'll make sure that it gets into that account. If you're one who gives online, there is a tab on Easy Tithe to give this money to Ron. You just pray and ask God, Lord, what do you want me to give? And whatever God tells you, that's what you need to give. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Brother Johnny is going to be online on Facebook Live. And he's the only thing we got going on tonight, but that's enough, all right? And so, families with little kids, make sure you're tuned in at 6 o'clock to hear the Bible study lesson from Brother Johnny. And if you're older and don't have kids, you can tune in too, all right? It'll be good for you as well. It is Memorial Weekend, so we're not having Bible study online this week. It'll pick up again next week. Wednesday night, we're going to be online again, Facebook Live. Brother Nathan is going to bring the message. And until we go into phase two, whatever that looks like, or phase three, whatever that is going to look like, we will remain just having live services Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30. And again, I'll remind you why that is. We cannot have any kids' meetings, so our little kids can't get together. Even our teenagers can't get together, and that restricts what we do on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. So until then, this is what you got. So let's make the most of it, all right? Remember, our staff loves you. I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. Have a great weekend. Remember, 3 o'clock tomorrow, spend time reflecting. You're dismissed.